chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. As we consider our theme for the year a little bit to this morning, I've been thinking, been going over a lot of things in my heart and mind about this word delight. I've been doing a Bible study on the word delight, and it's used in a lot of different areas and different spots in the Bible. And I began to thinking about if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, we should learn what some of the things that God delights in. And we have out there on our verse today is Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. One of my favorite verses, a couple of my favorite verses in the Bible. And one of the reasons why is because I learned it when I was studying my Bible. When God brings certain things to your heart and certain things to your mind. And I know we spoke about it a couple different times. But the word delight's found in verse 24. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might." And we talked about those things that we glory in. We shouldn't be glorying in our wisdom. We shouldn't be glorying in our might. Or let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, there are some things we just should not be glorying in. But then it says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this." If you're going to find glory in something, glory in this specific thing, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That you know who God is, and that you begin to learn and understand him in even greater ways. And then the Bible says that I am the Lord. And then there's these words, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. So this morning, as we consider some of the things that God delights, he says in his word here that he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. So as we consider some of the things that God delights in, and we're going to probably look at throughout the year things that God does not delight in, as we consider something that God delights in, I wonder what that means for us. What are you talking about? Well, our story here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, story about Saul, and also Samuel's in the story. Saul goes and says, "You know what, Lord, I obeyed you and I listened to you," but God sees it as something different. God saw it as something that he disobeyed and he didn't follow his commandments. And in this story, it actually uses the word delight and talks about the sacrifices. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter number 15, you see in the story that Samuel is somebody who is here and has given him the responsibility of talking to Saul and telling Saul what he did was wrong. And it's amazing how Saul honestly thought because what he did was right and he took delight in doing what he thought God wanted him to do, he missed the whole point. God looks at something certain ways, and many times we, through our skewed vision, looks at things another way. So as you look at these verses and consider, you know, what God delights in, he delights in loving kindness, and that's wonderful. We think about it. We'd like to talk about the lovingness of God. We like to talk about the kindness of God. When you combine those things, the loving kindness of God, we talk about judgment, and we talk about righteousness. And what do those things mean? Because the only way we're going to delight in the Lord is if we learn the things that he delights in and doing things God's way. The only way you're going to get great pleasure in God and great pleasure in his word is when we understand him a little bit better. So I'd like to look at this passage of scripture today and look at this thought here that God delights in obedience. God delights in obedience. Caleb and Joshua in Numbers 14, verse 8, they're talking about going into the promised land, and everybody else was against them. It was Caleb and Joshua standing by themselves. And Caleb said these words, and Joshua said these words, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us." He says, "If the Lord delights in us, he will use us." The book of 2 Samuel we've been studying on Wednesday night. David is running from Absalom because Absalom has came to take over, his own son, to take over the kingdom. And David, instead of fighting in Jerusalem and having a bloodshed in Jerusalem, which was God's city, he chose to leave. And as he was leaving, the ark came, and they were carrying the ark, and there was a group that followed him. And David, it says, the king said unto Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." So what David was saying there, look, take the ark back, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem today. If God delights in me, if God finds favor in me, God will restore me again. Just as Caleb and Joshua understood this, that if God delights in the things that they're doing, God will use them and God will perform what he has promised. Later on in that same book, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, David is there and David is giving a praise and he's worshiping the Lord. He said, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. So what these Old Testament saints are saying, that God delights in certain individuals and when certain people act certain ways, God takes pleasure in them and God will use them for his honor and for his glory. And I want us to get to that place like we looked about last week, how to have a blessed new year, how to be a person that God delights in. Saul here in this story is given a commandment by God. God tells Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites. Look what it says in verse number 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken now unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So what it's saying in verse number 1, Samuel's saying, Saul, you need to listen to me. Remember, I'm the one that anointed you as king. God uses me. God speaks to me. Now pay attention. Verse number 2, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is not Samuel. This is God saying this. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Verse number 3, we see the command. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So there's the commandment that's given. Go to verse number 7. And verse number 7, the Bible says, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people, now you notice it says Saul and the people. A little while, Saul is going to blame the people, but that's not what he says here. Saul and the people, it says, both of them spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. So he goes and he listens to God. God says, destroys everything, and he destroys most of the things. So let's see how God responds to this. Because he did listen to a portion of what God was saying. He did listen to some of what God was saying. Let's see what it says in verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Now look what he says in his response to Saul's obedience. He doesn't say, he followed me most of the way. What does he say? For he is turned back from following me, and have not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So God's response to Saul's reaction was, you know what? He didn't listen. He turned his back from serving me. He did not perform my commandments. Verse number 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. You can kind of hear, I don't know, sometimes I try to read into what it sounds like he's trying to be very pious, very spiritual. Blessed be thou the Lord. He's proud of himself. Why is Saul proud of himself? Look at what he says. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse number 11, God says, no, he didn't perform my commandments. Verse number 13, Saul is bragging, hey, I've done what God told me to do. Samuel has the great privilege of telling him, no, you didn't. Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the sacrifice unto the Lord, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Verse 16, the Bible says, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me. He says, now I want you to listen. Stay. You know, listen. Listen to me. He says, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. And then he says, this night. And he said unto him, say on. Saul said, go ahead, say whatever you need to. Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, speaking of those times when Saul was humble, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, responding to Saul and telling Saul, listen, remember how you became king. God did the work. God was the one that made you king. Then it says, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto him, unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. So Samuel tells him directly, God made you king. God sent you on a journey. God said, utterly destroy all of it. And he says, and you didn't do it. And Samuel says, Saul says, yeah, I did. I obeyed the voice of the Lord and had gone the way which the Lord sent me and had brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He says, I listened to what God said. Verse 21, he blames the people. We saw earlier that was Saul and the people. It says, but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Verse number 22, and Samuel said, have the Lord as great, and then we have that word, delight, and burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What the verse is saying there is that God gets great pleasure, or gets great pleasure when people obey. Now, yes, God did tell the people to sacrifice. God did tell them to, you know, sacrifice the he-goats and the lambs and these other animals. But he says, I'm not taking any pleasure in this because it wasn't done in an obedient way. Verse number 23, he says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Now, when we think about the word witchcraft, we all sit up and take notice. And we all, that's wicked, that's deplorable, that's just heinous. We don't want to have anything part of doing that. But what Samuel is telling Saul here, he's saying, look, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. To know to do what is right and choose not to do it is just as bad as witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And we see the stubbornness of Saul here saying, I did do what God told me to do, even bragging about it earlier, and then saying, I did obey the voice of the Lord. And you see the stubbornness that's here. And then you see, he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Samuel has a responsibility of saying, you no longer get to be king. And then he goes and says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. So Saul begins to repent when he hears of the judgment. And he says, look, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice. So he makes another excuse, saying, not only did I do it because it's the people that did it. He says, but yes, I did it, but it's not because I was wicked and evil and did not want to obey. It was because of the fact I feared the people. And he used the excuse to the people, and he says, I obeyed their voice. And then the Bible says, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. So their desire is, he says, look, I know I've sinned. Now, please turn back with me so we can worship the Lord together. And Samuel sees his desires, and he says, said unto him, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the Lord, word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and he rent it. Now, you remember, Saul is a big, strong guy. Samuel's an older guy. He rents his mantle, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Once again, this is Saul speaking. Yet honor me now. He's asking them, he's telling them, as a king, honor me, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So his desire really truly isn't to worship. His desire is to save face, because they know that if Samuel had left without worshiping, they would have known there was a problem. Then especially when Saul rents his mantle, they realize, they see what's going on, that if Samuel wouldn't turn back and worship, the elders would have known there was a problem. And Saul really didn't care about being right with God. His repentance and his getting his heart right didn't have to do with his relationship with God. He just wanted to make sure everybody didn't think bad about him, and that everybody thought he was okay, and that everybody thought he was good. Let's keep on going. It says in verse number 31, it says, "So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today as a servant. Lord, I want you to give me the words you want to be said. Lord, I want people to hear the words that you want them to hear. Lord, I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be about them. We want it to be about you. And Lord, we hear Caleb and Joshua saying, if the Lord delight in us, he's going to accomplish his will. We hear David says, I'll go back if the Lord has found, if I found favor in the Lord. Lord, help us a desire to not only delight in you, but for you to delight in the things that we're doing. Help us to see and question ourselves and bring ourselves under the microscope this morning, to look into this story and ask ourselves, am I truly being obedient to God? In your word, you talk about how you don't take delight in those sacrifices that are made by disobedient people. Help us see in this simple story and the simple explanation that you have a plan and a purpose for us, and that we need to follow your commandments, not just in a portion, but in all ways. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I read through this, and as I've been studying this, and as I've been studying the word delight, my desire for us this year, and even for myself, is that we learn to take great pleasure in the Lord. We talked about last Sunday night about taking great pleasure in his word. And I said, how do you do that? And we talked about praying and asking God to give us a different taste bud. We talked about praying and asking God to give us a desire for his law, to give us a desire for his commandments, to give us a desire for the things of God, and a desire to do the things that we should be doing. And I pray this week that's something you did. Because I know as I opened up the word this week, I prayed and said, open thou mine eyes, as we looked in Psalms chapter 119, that we behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And I prayed that God would give me a greater desire to delight in his word and to meditate in it day and night, as it talked about in Psalms chapter 1, verse number 2. And as I was studying this word delight, I came to this spot and I came to this thought about Saul here and how Saul did not delight in God's word. Saul delighted in doing things the way he thought was best. And most of us would read that story and think, okay, well, Saul was given the commandment. It wasn't a very nice commandment to go kill the Amalekites. He was supposed to utterly destroy everyone, and Saul went and he killed a large group of people. He brought back just the king and brought back the best of the sheep and the oxen. Most of us would look at that and say, you know what? He's doing a pretty good job. Hey, he did good. He did probably 90, maybe 95% of the work. God's going to be pleased with that. God's going to be happy with that. But God looks at it differently. And I think about it. Saul did not delight in God's word. And because Saul did not delight in the things that God says, he didn't take the commandments as he desired. God looks at it from this way, as it says in verse number 11. He says, for he has turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. Saul says in verse number 13, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. In verse number 11, he says, no, you haven't done it. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal here? What is the thought here? What is the point of it? Are we delighting in his commandments, or are we delighting in doing the things the way we think they should? Because many times as Christians, we get to the point that we read certain things in the Bible and says, okay, that makes sense. Now, let me put my own spin on it. And as I put my own spin on it, let me do the things the way I think is best and that I think is right. But how does God look at that? If we're going to delight in the Lord and we're going to delight in the things of the Lord, we're going to have to learn the things that God delights in. And what does God delight in? It says he delights in his righteousness. He delights in loving kindness. He delights in judgment. But that's his loving kindness. That's his judgment. That's his righteousness. It's not ours, because in Saul's eyes, hey, what I did was okay. I obeyed the voice of the Lord. I followed the Lord's commandment. He was proud of himself. He thought that Samuel was going to congratulate him, and that Samuel was was going to reward him, and Samuel was going to say, good job, Saul, for what you did, because you followed God's commandments most of the way. You know, when I sit and I think about this, and you know, sometimes there's passages of scriptures that you enjoy preaching, and sometimes there's passages of scriptures that you say, man, that's hard and tough. But those things that God helps us with and shows us and gives us encouragement with is, are we following God's commandments? And if we are following God's commandments, are we doing things God's ways, or have we taken our own thought pattern and perspective, talked about what other people have put in perspective, and maybe our family, maybe our friends, maybe the people that we work with, have we taken all those things in perspective and come up with our own solution that won't offend everybody but still keep God happy? See, that's not delighting in the Lord. That's not delighting in God's ways. That's not delighting in the things of God. And I want to encourage us this morning to be people like Caleb and Joshua that was willing to step out and say, you know what? If God delights in us, guess what? He's going to deliver us. He's going to give us that land. Just like David, who was fleeing for his life and going through a hardship and going through a hard time, he says, look, if I find favor in God, I'm going to return. Take the ark back. The ark is not mine. It's God's, and that's God's people. And he says, and if he doesn't delight in me, he says, if God's not delighting in me, then here I am. Let him do whatever he wants to me. To get to a spot where we are truly going to delight in God, and God delights in our ways, and God delights in the things that we're doing. As the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. If we really, truly want to get to that spot, we're going to have to examine our lives according to the Bible and according to the scripture and say, am I truly being obedient to God because God delights in obedience, or am I truly delighting in doing things my own way that I think God will just accept? One of the most frustrating things as a pastor, I was talking to somebody the other day, I saw him in the store talking about future jobs and things like that. He says, not everybody gets to do what they love. It's really great when you have a job that you enjoy and that you love. I love the things I do. Probably 90% of the stuff I do at the church I really enjoy. Probably one of the most frustrating things at a church is when people do their own thing, when they do obedience in a sense to the Lord, but they do it their own way, and they think that they're still being obedient. And it comes to the point, well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this attitude, and there's nothing wrong if I do it this way. It's just a little thing. It's not a big thing. And one of the most frustrating things as a pastor, I'm supposed to oversee things, you have to hold people accountable at times. And it's probably one of the most frustrating things is you just come up to someone who believes that they're serving the Lord and believes that they're doing things the right way, but then you say, you know what? This isn't what God's word says. You say, well, Pastor, you're being nitpicky. I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I'm just saying that I want to be in a spot that God delights in, and that if God's going to delight in us, we should look deep into our hearts and our lives and ask ourselves, am I being obedient to the things that I think I should be doing, or am I being obedient to the things that God wants me to do? Because there's a different picture. So many people have differences of opinions when it comes to, reading your Bible and praying and witnessing. We've developed our own opinions of that we've sometimes allowed those things to be strongholds in our life to the point where, well, when there's time, I'm going to read my Bible, and when I have time, I'm going to pray, and when the perfect person comes along, that's who I'm going to witness to. And when I'm going to follow direction and leadership here, and I'm going to obey my parents when they're right and when I think they're doing what's right, and I'm going to love my husband when he treats me right. And we begin to put a spin on that isn't what God's word says. It takes a portion of God's word and kind of spins it around to saying, well, this is what's best and this is what's right. Or I'm going to love my wife when she cooks good, or when she does this, and I'm going to submit myself to one another. You know, there's a long list of things and commands. We all know about the commandments. We like to talk about the loving kindness of God, but when it considers the judgment and the righteousness of God, Saul here is saying this in verse number 11. In verse number 13, he says, I did follow the commandments of God, and God is looking up there and he's saying, you're not following it. He says, you've turned your back on following me because you've done things your own way. He says in verse number 11, he says, he has turned his back from following me. He hath not performed my commandments. He doesn't say, look, Saul did most of it. He says he didn't do it. And to me, that convicts my heart. But the thing that scares me in verse number 13 is says, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. One of her sons struggles with keeping the room clean. Not going to tell you which one. You can guess if you want, but I won't tell you who. They might. Don't even ask them. Nobody's out here this morning. They're all working back in junior church, so I can talk about my family and no one's going to care, right? And I'm sure nobody's going to tell them either. But there's one there that struggles with cleaning his room sometimes. And as he's gotten older, he's gotten a little bit better with it. But, you know, he would come down. His mother more than me would say, "You need to go clean your room." He'd go up there, and we know his parents. It takes 2 minutes and comes down. Well, we know upstairs the room was a mess. It'd probably take a year to clean it, so 2 minutes is not enough. And then we say to him, "Did you clean the room?" "I sure did." "Did you do this?" Oh, he thought it was clean. He was happy with living in that mess. And once again, it's not so bad today, but you know, he did it halfway. He went up there and we would think you should take dirty clothes and put in dirty clothes bags that maybe washed them. When I was a kid, you take the dirty clothes, they go underneath the bed, or they go inside the closet. You know, those are things. It's cleaning the room to two different people. To a 10-year-old boy, cleaning the room is making sure that you can't see anything. You can hide it wherever you can hide it, but you know, it looks clean and the bed's made, everything's good, everything's perfect, it's clean. But to the parent that goes in and looks underneath the bed and pulls the things out, and to the parent that goes to the closet and says, "Here, this is not the way it's supposed to be," you know what happens? There's a difference in cleaning. There's a difference in being clean. There's a difference in understanding, hey, look, your room's not really clean. Maybe in your mind and maybe in your heart, it's clean. Maybe in your mind and your heart, everything's just fine. But the authority in their life is saying, no, the dirtiness needs to go away. You need to look underneath the bed. You need to look inside the closet. You need to get to the spot that is not based off what you think is clean, but who is important thinks is clean. When you come to the scripture here, Saul, he was pious. He says to him in verse number 13, he says, "Blessed thou, O Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord." And they come and says, "You know what? I've done what I should. Blessed." And they come up and he says it, and he's almost to the point that he's bragging, and he says, "I've done it." I've met, and probably even guilty of myself, you know, when I'm doing things maybe not all the way, it's easy to become pious and say, "Yeah, we're doing it." But my encouragement today is, let's look at our hearts and lives and say, am I truly doing things God's way, or am I doing things the way I think they should be? I'm a smart guy. I can figure it out. You know, God's word might say this, but maybe God meant this. That's a dangerous place to be. And when it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord," it means that he knows the law, he understands the law, and he meditates on the law, and he follows the law. Because God is saying here, you didn't do it, but there's a whole group of people in the world today. I'm following God. I'm a disciple of God. I'm living the way God wants me to. I'm being faithful. I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I'm a good child. I'm a good church member. I'm a good this. I'm a good that. And God, I think many people's lives are sitting up there and saying, you've turned your back on following me because you've done it your way instead of mine. Now, I'd like to think for just a few minutes about some of the excuses that Saul uses, and we'll be done. One of the excuses Saul uses, he blames the people. He does that a couple of different times. You go to verse number 9. The scripture tells a story. He says, Saul and the people, they're the ones that did this. Saul turns around and says in verse number 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. He blames the people. They have, for the people spared the best of the sheep. And don't worry, it is so easy to blame somebody else. It's so easy to say, because of them, I did this. Because of them, I had to do this. And it's our relationship with God, it's us, as whether or not we're truly being close to him. And Psalm 37:1, in this verse, is about delight thyself also in the Lord. What does it tell you over and over in the scriptures? We learned about it a couple weeks ago on Sunday afternoon. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers or iniquities. We can't do what we think is best. But we also got to make sure we're not doing what other people think is best, or we're not using them as an excuse and say, boy, I'd live for God if I had a different husband. I'd live for God if I had a different wife. I'd live for God if I had different parents. You know what? I know people have used those excuses in my own life. I come up with minds and excuses. You know what? It's all because of my teacher. It's all because of my pastor. It's all because of, but it's our own personal walk with God. It's our own personal question. Saul was the one that was in charge. Saul had the opportunity to tell the people, hey, we're not going to, we're going to kill everything. We're going to kill the king. And he had that opportunity. He chose not to because he's blaming it on the people. But I honestly believe it's because of the fact he thought this was the best thing to do. Let's finish up with this thought. They were saying, which I don't know if it's a lie or excuse, they were saying they wanted to take the best and offer it up to God as a sacrifice. They wanted to take the best sheep and the best rams and the best this and the best that, because God deserves the best. But if you look at the verse here, God says he's not delighted in man's best. He delights in obedience. Look what it says when it says here in here it is. I'll find it. And the Lord, verse number 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And you go down to verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices? In Saul's mind, God would be okay with his disobedience if he offered him a great sacrifice. We learn later on that Saul really wasn't interested in repenting. Saul was interested in saving face. You know what? If everybody still thinks I'm godly, and if everybody thinks because I take all these animals and these great animals and I have this great show and this great thing, everybody's going to think, hey, there's someone who loves God. Hey, there's someone God's going to use. Hey, there's someone I can follow. And God says in verse 22, he says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? He says, you think God's going to be honored with this sacrifice? When it says, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Does that mean we shouldn't sacrifice? No. What that means is that we should be obedient as we sacrifice. And Saul has gotten this, and he says, look, these are really great things. This is going to put on a great show. Everybody's going to think, the elders are going to be impressed, and the other people are going to be impressed. If we can make all these great sacrifices and give all this glory to God, and if we give all this glory to God, then God's going to be happy. And God's saying, I'd rather you obeyed than the show. I would find delight in your obedience. I don't find delight in this. Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter number 1. In Isaiah chapter number 1, we're going to finish with this thought here. Isaiah chapter number 1, he's speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah is speaking to the people, and he says something similar, but even in a stronger way. You think Samuel's being rough here. Listen to what Samuel says. Samuel, Isaiah chapter 1, look what verse number 9 says. Except the Lord of hosts had left us into a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Boy, if you want to talk about some wickedness and comparing somebody to someone, as Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel here. Don't get lost in the translation there. Then he says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord. And then listen to what the Lord's saying. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And he uses that word delight again. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Is he saying he's tired of the sacrifices he commanded? That's not it at all. He's saying because of their hearts, they keep on offering these sacrifices, and because of the offerings that they are making, their heart is not obedient, their heart is far from them, but they still put on the ritual, they still put on the show. And he says in verse number 12, for ye come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand, to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. It was worthless. Incense is an abomination to me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. and its iniquity, even the solemn meetings, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. There are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You read those verses and you're thinking, man, they're talking about some wicked thing. They're talking about some wicked TV show there. But he's saying, I am tired of the religious rituals of the day. I want your hearts to be right before you do these things. I want you to look at the scriptures, and I want you to light in my word, and I want you to look at your lives and make sure that you're clean. It says, verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. So before we get up and we do the rituals, before we do the singings, before we do the, we should make sure our hearts are right. Because you see, there are people that are dirty, and there's people that are sinners, and people that don't care about God, but they kept on going through the routine, and they kept on going through the routine, and they kept on going through the routine. They kept on saying, like Saul did, I have followed the commandment of God. I have listened to the voice of the Lord. I've done what I was supposed to, and God is up there saying, you've turned your back from me. You have not done my commandments. And I'm not specifically talking about one certain thing for one certain person. What God laid upon my heart was that we should look at our hearts and our ways and say, do I delight in the Lord, or do I delight in the fact that I'm a Christian and I'm a moral person and I want to do things my way, the way I think they should be done, or do I care about what his word says and I've done things according to God, the way God's commanded, and I'm just offering myself up to him because I delight in him and I delight in his word. The thing is, Saul said, surely this has to be good enough. God says, that's not what I was asking for. But I can make this great sacrifice happen. I can kill all these animals. Everybody's going to think I'm holy, and everyone's going to think I'm righteous. And God says, you don't even follow me. So this morning, I know it's bringing something right to your face and saying, are you obeying God? And no, I'm not talking about our opinion of God's righteousness, our opinion of God's judgment, our opinion of God's loving kindness. We're talking about God's word. Is that what we're doing? Yes, we're not mindless people. Yes, we interpret the scriptures. Yes, we learn and grow from the scriptures. It's our personal walk with God. Yes, some people feel like it's this way, and some people might feel like it's this way when it comes to preferences. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about looking at your life and saying, this is why I serve him. I serve him out of heart, of a love, of delighting in him, and I want him to be happy with my ways. I want him to be pleased with my ways, and I want him to delight in me. Like Joshua and Caleb said, if he delight in us, he will deliver us and he will give us that land. David says, if he find favor, I'm going to go back. If he doesn't delight in me, here am I. Let him do what he wants with me because I don't want to do anything outside of his delight. David even says, he delivered me. He brought me to this large land because he delighted in me. Let us find that spot where we can say, God is delighting in the things we're doing. Because the only way we're ever going to delight in the Lord is when we understand his loving kindness, his judgment, and his righteousness. Last but not least, you know, I know the message has been intended for God's children, but if there's someone here today that is not saved and not on their way to heaven, just like Saul said, I did everything almost all the way right, and I think I pleased God. When it comes to salvation, there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to make it unless you come through Jesus Christ. Stop depending on your knowledge of God. Stop depending on your works for God. Stop depending on whatever it is. Knowledge does not equal salvation. Salvation is when we have, with a repentant heart, crying out to God, and we turn to him and say, God, I know I need you. I see myself as a sinner, and I'm asking you to save me from my sins. If you've never done that, today is the day of salvation. If you have done that, examine your hearts, examine your life, and just say, I don't want to go through all these motions. I don't want to go through all these rituals and God not be pleased with it. Let me look deep in my heart and say, is this something God would consider obedience? Is this something that God would say, yes, that is what I'm asking you to do? Or would it be like Saul? I've obeyed God, I follow the commandments of God, and not even caring about repenting. Instead, oh, as long as everybody thinks I'm good, it's okay. As long as the elders come and worship with me, we want to make sure, I don't care what God thinks, as long as everybody else thinks I'm holy, as long as everybody else thinks I'm right, and God is sitting up there and saying, you have turned your back. And Saul, Samuel himself mourns after Saul. He thought Saul was a good guy. He missed it. And we saw how Saul, how the truth came out about Saul and all those other things. Don't play games. Delight in his word means we find pleasure in doing it his way instead of ours. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.